I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Michael K. Show.
If these guys don't get back, you are going to lose games against under 500 teams. Yeah. And you're going to lose games against better teams. You just are. As great as Jalen Brunson is, he can't do this himself.
No, he can't.
He just can't.
No way.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you can't get these guys back, at least a solid portion, Michael, you could just end up as basically playing as bad as these teams that you think you should be beating. It becomes an impossible task. They're not the Knicks. You need at least Brunson and Hartenstein and defense. Vincenzo, right? You need some combination of power. They can't do it without basically any of them or Brunson alone and expect to win any games.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. Let's kick off where we left off. So the Yankees got Juan Soto. And to me, other than the Dodgers getting Ohtani and Yamamoto, it's the most significant addition that any team made during the offseason. And they gave up Kyle Higashioka, who, one of my favorite people in the Yankee clubhouse, was not making the team this year. You've got Trevino back from the surgery and Austin Wells. And then Ben Roethlisberger. Kyle was not making the team. You gave up Drew Thorpe, highly thought of young player. And then two pitchers that got in games last year that have probably at best four or five starters. So the thing that hurt is Thorpe and King. That's it. Now, the risk, if you want to call it a risk, is that you keep Soto for 1 year. That's it. That's the only risk.
Well, that's not the only risk.
What's the other risk?
That the players that you gave up could turn out to be stars. You look at them as fourth or fifth starters. What if they turn out to be this era's, you know, Jose Reyes or Doug Drabek or Jay Buhner, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that that's also part of any risk when you make a trade.
The only one, but you're bringing in one of the greatest players of all time.
For 1 year.
Right.
And not to sell tickets. So not
let's
to
say Michael King is that guy that becomes great.
Right.
He's a free agent after 2025. He has 2 years left. Also has an unresolved elbow issue, so every single pitch you hold your breath. I love the guy. That was the one that hurt the most to give up. Drew Thorpe could end up being a really good pitcher. The best thing that I hear, he might project to be a three. So you wouldn't give up a three, and a guy has 2 years of options remaining, or 2 years of control remaining for Juan Soto, even for 1 year?
Well, we're arguing two different things.
I don't know what we're arguing about.
No, because what you're arguing is it worth the risk? And I agree with you. I would make the deal too. I'm not arguing with you that they made a mistake making the deal. You're defending the deal. That's not my argument. My argument is that if he ends up signing someplace else, there are circumstances where that deal is going to look bad. And it's going to hurt the Yankees.
I understand the distinction now. That is a worthwhile distinction. He's not saying they shouldn't have done it. He's saying that, let's say Soto's pretty good, they don't win a world championship, maybe he's even great, but they don't win it, and then he goes elsewhere, and then the players they gave up turn out to be studs. You might still agree, Michael, that they should have done it, but you'd have to acknowledge it didn't work out the way you'd want.
And it hurt. I'm saying it just you can't make a deal with risk and at the back end of it say that, well, I don't feel anything. It's no big deal.
You also can't get Juan Soto without giving up something for him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than winning a World Series, even if they get to the World Series and they lose lose him to Steve Cohen and the Mets, it's going to sting, but you do it 100 out of 100 times.
Oh, I get, but
get him
back
for 1 year.
Right, you're back to arguing you make the deal. But there could be pain from making this deal. It could really stink.
Yeah, but
is my point.
Of knowing all the players, to me, the only one that has a possibility to sting is King. And it would obviously not be a good optic. We use that word a lot. if he has a great year with the Yankees, wins the American League MVP, and then goes to the Mets. Yeah, what can you do? Now, he's got Scott Boras as his agent. You go in with your eyes wide open when you make a deal like that. But you make it, and you make it, and you make it, because you're getting Juan Soto, even if it's for a year. And even if those guys turn out to be great players, you do it. I mean, the Doug Drabek deal was terrible for the Yankees. They didn't get anything. They didn't get anything. But one thing about the Yankee deals, you know, a lot of these deals have blown up in their face. Nobody's come back to hurt them. Nobody's become a huge star. The only risk in this is you keep Soto for 1 year and he signs across the town.
But even if he signs across the town, he could have done that anyway, right?
But without ever having worn a Yankee uniform, it wouldn't sting as much.
Right. I'm just saying that there could be hurt. But you're right. Of course, it's worth it. You're going for it. Puts a lot of pressure on going forward, and your window of success, although I can't sit there, even if all those guys become stars and Soto doesn't re-sign, if you go to a World Series, I'm sorry, even for the New York Yankees, Michael, because they haven't gone to a World Series since 2009.
I mean, they got to make the playoffs this year if they're not making it last year.
Right, exactly. Now, making the playoffs as a wild card, you know, or winning 110 games and getting bounced early. I mean, if this team made it to the World Series, I can't speak for Yankee fans, but that's a heck of a season, all right? But if he's injured or he underachieves and this team doesn't make the playoffs, that's going to stink. You know, that's going to hurt. Now, whether that means you wouldn't go back and make the deal, I don't know. Michael, is it possible that how it ages, if you don't make the playoffs and Soto has a pedestrian season and King turns out to be an absolute stud, there won't be people who say, man, we probably shouldn't have made that deal.
Of course.
Because you could have waited, you know, and take your chances of, all right, let's go for it this year without Soto and then just let's get in to the free agency at the end of the year and not have to give up anybody. I mean, every trade's a risk, Michael, but you have to realize that every trade that you make, that there's the possibility that it won't age well, that it will not look good. And this one can certainly set up that way when you have all your eggs in. You made this deal to win a championship, and not everybody can win a championship.
Now, one thing that I do fight back on, there's a segment of the baseball population that go, well, it's a smart deal for the Yankees to get him because he could end up falling in love with the Yankees over that year. And I call complete nonsense on that.
Yes.
Let's say every day he walked into Yankee Stadium, he walked over a bed of Skittles, and there were beautiful angels in the air, and he hit 75 home runs and hit 350. Yankees won a World Series, and he was the toast of the town, and they went down the Canyon of Heroes.
Wow.
He's represented by Scott Boras. None of that will matter. None of it will matter. He will go to the highest bidder next year. If the Yankees want to keep him, it'll be the highest bidder that gets him. And no matter how good the experience is this year, it doesn't mean anything. I don't buy into that at all. Not when you have Scott Boras as your agent.
I don't, but could it work the other way, where the experience is really not good?
I guess it could, but even if the experience is terrible, Don, and the Yankees offer him $50 million a year, he'll sign here.
I don't know. I know Scott Boras goes out, but I think everybody knows you go to the New York Yankees, you're going to get treated very well. All right. There's nothing wrong with being a New York Yankee. I think everybody would sign up for the opportunity to play for a classy organization like the Yankees. So I don't think there's anything you need to know other than living in New York and the experience and maybe the pressure and the media. There's some things that maybe you want to get a feel for. So what happens, Michael, if he's here for a year and he's like, I just don't like it here. I love the Yankees. I love the way I'm treated. But, you know, New York's just not for me. You don't think he could go to Boras and say, listen, get as much as you can, but if the Yankees have the highest offer, I'm going to say no.
I don't see it.
Because
I know what you're saying.
Now, if it's $10 million
like
more a year.
Every day he went to Yankee Stadium, he got mugged every day coming in. And his car got flat tires in the FDR every day.
Wow.
And they offered him $500 million for 10 years. And the next highest offer was $450 million for 10 years. He's going to take the muggings and the flat tires.
But you can't say that with any certainty.
No, none of us can say anything.
I'm just trying to lead the room
on Boras' clients.
You know,
Boras took a discount just now by signing Altuve to his extension. Because Altuve said, I'm staying here in Houston no matter what.
But at the end of the day, don't you have a say? It doesn't happen very often, Don. But I'm just, I get what you're saying because Boris, but if I don't like it somewhere, you know, $50 million over 10 years, when we're talking that kind of money,
Don, I don't like it in New York.
I don't like the media, or I like the other place. Listen, Judge took less to stay in New York because he really loved it in New York. So you're telling me if Boris was his client, he wouldn't be a Yankee?
I think Boris would have kept nudging him to get more.
But he's his own person. I think Juan Soto's his own person. Boris, get me the best contract possible. But don't make it seem like these players don't have a say.
He loved Washington, D.C. He loved playing for the Nationals. They offered him over $400 million. He said no. That was 3 years ago. He said no. So, again, most of the time when you hire Scott Boris, there's a reason you hired him. You're getting the last cent.
Right, but you're also driving the price up.
Right.
Where other agents, so yeah, he might take less to go someplace else, but it's still maybe more than maybe any other agent could have gotten him.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, so it's still a lot of money. At least you're probably right at the end of the day. I don't know him. You don't know him. You know, but I just think that we make it seem like these agents work, that you work for the agent. It's the other way around.
Yeah, we know that literally that's the case, but most people think they work for the agents.
But that shouldn't be the case. And listen, I don't see why he wouldn't like it here. Unless for just whatever reason, it was a bad juju while he was here and just didn't feel comfortable, or maybe the media was too much, or the fans got what I don't know. I love New York. I can't imagine I would want to play anyplace else. I mean, I can't put myself in his shoes, but I find New York to be great. But some guys don't.
Is he gonna grin and bear it and just go out there, or is he gonna be like,
listen, I'll go sign someplace else. Yeah, it'd be a little bit less, but still a ton of money, and I'd be happier.
But
sorry, Scott.
If you don't think that Scott Boris plays a huge role in where a guy ends up, there are four great players that still don't have a job.
Well,
and one of them, Blake Snell, was $150 million for 5 years by the Yankees and turned it down.
Then there's something wrong with these guys. I mean, Peter, we can't wrap our mind around the money and what it is to be a professional ball player. But we do have agents, and we do negotiate contracts, and we do look for work. Can you imagine an agent putting pressure on us to do something we don't want to do? Well, if that happened, that's on me.
It's so different. When you have players, it's not like they're wondering if they can get a job. You know, we have to deal with the like, oh, I hope someone wants us and we'll be able to make a living. That's not the case here. You're literally just picking the best financial situation you want.
But if I'm Blake Snell and it's February 13th and I don't have a job yet, and I've turned down unbelievable money. At what point were we like, Scott, man, I got to play. What are we doing here?
I got to tell you one thing about those four players, and I really firmly believe this. Listen, Bellinger could hang out and not get signed for a while, and he'll be fine because that's a position player. Same thing with Chapman. If I'm a baseball team and I have interest in Snell and Montgomery, it's going to cost a lot of money to get either of them. And if this goes on for another 2 weeks, I'm going to pull a Don. I'm good. I'm not bringing in a pitcher 2 weeks after pitchers and catchers report. Because you know what's going to happen? They're either going to get hurt because they're going to rush to get back before the opener, or they're going to miss April. They're going to miss a sixth of their first season. We saw what happened last year with Carlos Rodon. When you miss the beginning of a season when you're a free agent, you try to make up for it all the way.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that they are keeping those two players out of a team, and pitchers need the time. The reason spring training is as long as it is simply because of pitching. And if you're a starting pitcher, I don't care how much you prepare outside and how much you throw outside, you are not getting ready for the season until you step onto a complex.
Right.
And if I'm a team, there is no way I am taking Snell or Montgomery if it's 2 weeks from now, because that's going to screw up their whole season. It just is. So I don't know what Scott's thinking. And you guys know the incredible respect I have for Scott Boris. He always has a plan. But with pitchers, you're really pushing the envelope. You could keep Bryce Harper out until the end of February. Doesn't matter. That's a position player. They could get ready in 3 weeks. Pitchers can't. So Snell and Montgomery are only hurting themselves by waiting this long.
Now,
they just are.
There are a lot of people that are listening to this program right now that have to make their decisions solely based on money. because that's how they have to live. But if you're in our situation, or you're a professional athlete where you have a ton of money, you're not concerned about it. If you make a decision solely for the money at that level, it's a mistake. You are making a mistake. You've got to look deeper into it, man. You have to. Some people can't afford to do that. They need the money. But when we get to a level as a professional athlete where, come on, you don't need the money. It's all just about your ego, and it's about getting everything that you can. If you're only making that decision, going to a team that's dysfunctional, going to a city that you don't like because it's going to get you the most money, I'm telling you, it's a mistake. It won't feel like one at the time, but believe me, in the midst of that contract, you look around and go, oh my God, what did I do? You've got to be able to factor in other things than the finances. That's the one great luxury of being rich and being a professional athlete, that you don't have to make it all about the money.
And of those four guys that Boris has, right, and he also has one other pitcher that's not at that level, but of those four guys, other than Montgomery, right, every one of them has significant warts in their game. So you can't ask for top dollar like an Aaron Judge can. Well, I mean, other than getting hurt, well, there's no negative in Aaron Judge's game. Garrett Cole checks all the boxes. Blake Snell has had two Cy Young Awards, which is great. The years in between, pedestrian. Well, Chapman is an unbelievable third baseman. His offense has gone south each of the last couple of years. Each of the last couple of years. And Bellinger, he won an MVP with the Dodgers, had a great year with the Cubs. The years in between, he got released by the Dodgers. How are you holding out for, like, lifetime money? When if somebody offers you what the Yankees offered Snell, reportedly, it's never been proven that they did, you got to take that, I would think. Let's see. Maybe Boris makes a fool out of all of us, and he gets these guys the money. I don't see it happening.
I don't know, Scott, the way you do. All right? I only know from what everybody else knows. But correct me if I'm wrong. Johnny Damon was a Boris client, right?
Yep.
And I remember the binder? Peter, there was a binder for Johnny Damon. Like, Boris had a binder that was going to give all the numbers on why he deserved the money that he deserved. Like, I think Scott Boris, there was a time where he was the smartest man in the room. And that he was going to throw numbers out on why you're all wet on this player. This is the reason why you have to pay him top dollar. I don't know if he's the smartest man in the room anymore. I think that binder that he brought to the teams for Johnny Damon, they've got bigger binders, all right? They already know these numbers. They know all the hidden stuff. Is it possible, Michael, that everybody kind of went to school and now Scott's not the smartest guy? He's still incredibly intelligent and a tremendous agent, but those little nuggets, the little piece of information that nobody else had that he had, is he walking into that meeting now and the guys that he's talking to also know all the stuff and maybe know a little bit more?
There are no binders anymore.
Right, that's what
I'm saying.
Because
every single team has that information, so you're not going to fool anybody into or like enlighten anybody.
Because I don't remember back in the day, Michael, where Boris clients weren't getting paid. But now you're starting to see over the last couple of years, it's happened. That they're not getting paid, or they're not ready for the start of the season because nobody's offering the contract that Scott wants. So doesn't Scott maybe have to make an adjustment on the fly that whatever he was doing still works great, but maybe not at the level that worked before?
Well, I mean, we're going to see. We're going to see with these four players exactly what they get. Greg and Tom's River. Greg?
Don kind of stole my thunder, but I just don't get it. These guys have either made as much money to live their life and their family's life, or they have the ability to make so much. Why wouldn't where you want to play such a huge factor? I can't see, like Don said, going somewhere for more money if you're not going to be as happy. If you have a wife, or you have kids in school, and you have some social activities around where you've been, why would you want to go? I just don't get it. It's just so much greed or ego.
But Greg, you do get it. I mean, you just don't agree with it. This is how they keep score, man. This is how they prove they're better than player X or player Y or player Z. You think Mike Hampton wanted to pitch for the Rockies where pitchers go to die? No. And then he gave us this poppycock about, oh, he's doing it because they have such a good school system in Colorado. Nonsense. It's how they keep score. They want to make the most money of anybody. And then they could swing it around more than anybody.
And then what happens in the midst of that contract when the team's dysfunctional and they're not winning? They're all looking to try to get out.
Right.
And in a lot of times, they're lucky enough because the team that signed him wants to get out of the contract, and they are able to deal him away. But you know, I get it, but I also understand that you know being happy is also important. They're letting the ego get in the way. At the end of the day, does it really matter who's the highest paid, whatever? Who's paying attention to that?
Well, that's how they're happy. That's how they get happiness.
I mean, I don't know if it's how they get happiness.
But you know it's how they keep score.
Peter, if everything's even, I'm going to go with the bigger paycheck. But Peter, would you go work at a radio station that you hated because you would be the highest paid disc jockey, the highest paid host? Or would you just say, you know what, I want to go someplace where I'm happy?
Again, I hear you, but I just think it's different, right? Because we have other things we're worried about. How many people we reach? You know, is it a station, a respected radio station where you could do what you... They're all on a similar playing field. They're all playing the game.
Not true because, you know, Mike Hampton went to Colorado. How did that work out? How did it work out for him in Colorado?
Awful, but he got his money.
All right, but at the end of the day... Is that so I got paid? What are people going to remember? Well, at least he got paid. Are they going to remember that his career took a nosedive? Because of the rarefied air and everything else. Like I'm just saying that sometimes, you're right, Peter. I guess that's how they find their happiness or that's how they decide success. I'm the highest paid at this. But, you know, to go to a place where your earn run average is going to go skyrocketing and the team's not going to be competitive and you end up hating playing there, was it worth it?
They may not get it right, but yeah.
All right, what we're going to do, we'll come back and we'll debate another Boris client that you wonder, is he going to stay in the city where he obviously likes to play? When I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition, even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle, neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea. Take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea. Join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about Soto before we get to our next baseball topic. So Bob Nightingale, USA Today, talked to Manny Machado of the Padres. Talked to him about life without Juan Soto. He said, quote, "We believe in the guys that we have, but obviously no one can replace Soto. He's the top player in the game. He's irreplaceable." That's why you make that deal. Now, David Stearns, the Mets GM, spoke yesterday in Port St. Lucie, and it got our attention what he said about Pete Alonso, who's in the final year of his contract and has hired Scott Boras to be his agent. Listen what the GM said about Boris.
We're not going to get into the specifics of any particular negotiation. I'm not going to provide you guys updates on any conversations that exist back and forth. But look, when you have a really talented player who's really good, who's entering his final year of club control, who happens to be represented by Scott Boras, these things generally end up into free agency. And we understand that. This is an organization that's dealt with that before with really good players, and it's ended up in a perfectly fine spot. So I have not seen Pete here yet, haven't talked to him here yet, but what we're going to talk about is, look, let's go out and have a great year together. You go out and have a great year. Let's have a great year as a team. And if we do that, we're both going to be set up, the organization and Pete, going to be set up very well going into the offseason.
My gut feeling, Don and Peter, is that he will not be a Met in 2025, especially if Scott digs in regarding, you know, he's kind of comparing him to Aaron Judge. And he wants about $40 million a year. Well, you look at the top paid first baseman in the game, no one makes 30. Freddie Freeman doesn't make 30. Matt Olson doesn't make 30. None of them do. First basemen are not valued the way outfielders are. And also, it's kind of tough to put him in the same frame of reference as Judge. You know, the last year that Judge had before he became a free agent, he hit 311 and hit 62 home runs. Now, Alonso certainly has the capability of hitting 60 home runs. I don't think he's a 300 hitter. He hit 217 last year. So if Scott really thinks he's going to get $40 million a year for Alonso, even if he hit 63 home runs, I don't think it's there, Don. And again, you hire Boris to get the big money. I'm sure he could have stayed with his other agent and gotten the going rate for the top first baseman in the game. But Pete's not a great defender. He's not a great base runner. Doesn't hit for average, but is a prolific home run hitter. I'm not sure that they will sign him.
Well, I think they are definitely in a position. And I don't know whether this is right or wrong. I probably, if I had to guess, I'd say it's wrong. They're going to go strictly by what they believe somebody's worth, period. I'm not paying you a dime more than that. So it's probably good to get people prepared that he's going to walk. I don't believe in the analytic world they think about value other than what the numbers tell them. Are they thinking about his ability to sell tickets? Do they think about the fact that he's the face of the franchise, the star power that he has? I think that's important, but if you're just looking strictly at the numbers, this is how we feel, how much we feel he's worth. And we're not paying a penny more, and we know his agent's going to want to get the most possible, then go at it. Go do it. This is what we're going to pay you. And if you want more than that, then you're going to have to go seek it elsewhere. I think that's probably good business, Michael.
I believe it is. And you know, there's something I found out last week, and I was waiting for the right time to tell it.
Here we go.
You know, one thing with Judge, okay, he is beloved by his teammates. Beloved. Even before he was named captain after signing the deal, he was essentially the captain of the team. I mean, they follow his lead. They hang out with him. They revere him. He's that sort of guy. So, you know, Pete Alonso had a charity dinner last year in the middle of the season. Really, it was hyped up, and obviously it's for great cause. You know how many teammates showed up? Jeff McNeil. No Verlander.
Wow.
No Scherzer, no one. No Lindor, no one.
This
Jeff McNeil was the only guy who showed up. Now, ironically enough, a couple of days later, Jeff McNeil had a dinner, and only Alonso showed up. So you're not really, you could say you're the face of the team and the fans love you. Are you really the leader of the team when no one showed up?
Well, this
except for Jeff McNeil.
It's like the Kevin Costner movie, Draft Day. Do you ever see that movie?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Costner's the agent, right?
Yeah, no, Costner's the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. They're going to draft the quarterback first overall, and he makes a trade to get the first overall pick. And then the question is that he had a birthday party, his 21st birthday party, and none of his teammates showed up. And that was like an indicator, kind of like with Zach Wilson not being the captain at BYU. Like, is this an indicator that maybe he's not a leader, he's not a team guy? I mean, that's the story that I feel with Alonso. But sometimes, Michael, do you have the right guys around them? You know, like Do I blame Alonso for that, or do I what's going on here, guys? We got to get to the bottom of this. Find out.
How about Verlander and Scherzer don't show up?
Yeah, that's
We've
been talking about it, kind of kidding on the square, Peter Wright, for years about him being kind of awkward, and so I could see him maybe rubbing some people in the room the wrong way. But has that affected? Is that the reason why they lost to the Padres in the playoffs 2 years ago? Is that the reason they finished under 500 this year? You got to get to the bottom of all this stuff. But there's a part of me as a Met fan, it's like, God, another all-time Met. Guy the Mets drafted, groomed, star, rookie of the year. And he's going to go someplace else. Isn't there some value to having a forever Met? Building around guys like this and Lindor? But I guess it's such a bottom-line business. I guess you can't – if you're a general manager, you got to think with your head, not with your heart. The things I'm saying, the things that fans say, that's with the heart. But good business is not done from the heart. It's done with the head.
Cohen didn't hire Stearns to throw around money. I mean, look at the team they're putting on the field in 2020. I mean, Stearns could say they expect to play baseball in October. I don't think they are. Not with the pitching staff that they're putting together. I don't think they're that team. I mean, there's two teams that are clearly better in their division, and that's the Phillies and the Braves. And now, are there two other teams that will not win the division that will be better than the Mets and get the other two wild card spots? I think that you bring in Stearns to put your value on players. This is what we're going to give you. And if you don't want it, we'll go somewhere else. Because what Cohen's trying to build is the Dodgers East. Now, the Dodgers spent unbelievable money on Yamamoto and on Shohei Ohtani. But you look at what they did before that. They got under the luxury tax, highly deferred deals for Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Those were smart deals. That's what the Mets are trying to build. If they put a number on Pete Alonso, let's say he hits 63 home runs and breaks the all-time record, and they put a number on that, they're not going to go over it. That's not why you brought in David Stearns. To spend like a drunken sailor. I am a little bit surprised that Cohen is not going out and getting some of these players that are available, where you could put them over the top and make the Mets a contender. But you look at all the deals they signed, one-year deals, two-year deals that they could get out from under them. They're trying to still get out from under Scherzer and Verlander's contract. So I think you bring in a guy like Stearns not to just throw $40 million a year at a first baseman. I don't think Alonso's going to get that. Now, unless he changes his tune and takes a lot less, but if he holds firm that he wants to get Judge-type money, I don't think he's getting it from the Mets.
But also, particularly weird, if you have Stearns there, you don't end up going out and getting any of these guys, and you don't sign Alonso.
Right.
Is that what really they plan for? It'd be less firepower than last year?
That's a good sign. That's a good point. Where if you don't get so, I mean, I think that they're trying to get the money off because they're the second highest paid payroll in baseball. So if you don't get Soto next year, or you don't get big players that are going to be, I mean, the pitchers that are available next year are great, great pitchers. Like Walker Buehler is going to be available. That's where you have to spend your money. But they haven't spent a dime yet, and they didn't get Yamamoto, who they went all out for. They didn't get him, just like the Yankees didn't get him. And they said, okay, that's a difference maker. We'll pay that kind of money for him. I don't think they look at Alonso that way. Well, I just don't.
And I guess at the end of the day, we'll find out if that's the right way or the wrong way. I mean, when I look at a guy that can go out there and hit 50 home runs and drive in 120 RBIs, I can't imagine that doesn't help your team. He's gotten better defensively at first base. That wouldn't help the Mets. Like Peter said, now I got to go out and find somebody that's going to hit 50 home runs and drive in 120 RBIs. I might find somebody that has a better on-base percentage, but am I going to find somebody that's going to go out there and drive in that many runs and hit that many home runs? Probably not. Now, if everybody's working from the same template, right? So if the Mets don't believe he's worth whatever he's asking for, you would think other organizations would think the same thing. And that's probably worth the risk. All right, Pete, if you think you can go out and get it, get it. Because really the only team that can value him are the Mets, because they're the ones that are looking at it. I don't know if the Detroit Tigers think they're going to sell many tickets getting Pete Alonso.
I can see fans maybe the Cubs.
Maybe the Cubs. I don't know that.
And I can see them the Mets trading with the trade deadline, Don.
Well, but that's the smart thing to do is ultimately if this team is not good, but he's having a phenomenal year, you trade him, and then he becomes a free agent just like he was going to become a free agent anyway. And right. then if you want him, then you bid for him, and then maybe you get him back, and then you have the assets that you got in the trade for him, like what the Yankees did with Chapman. That would be the smart thing to do if you know he's not going – you're not going to give him more just because you want to keep him a forever Met. So, but how will that age to the general public? Because it is a business after all. If he ends up signing with another team for like a pittance more than what the Mets offered him, and the Mets weren't willing to give that little extra because the fans wanted him and because they have a chance to make him a forever Met, how will the Met fan react to that? They're not going to be happy. The whole, well, I mean, the whole reason they wanted Steve Cohen was because he was going to go the extra mile. If he want, if he signed someplace for $42 million a year and the Mets offer was 40, how do you think the Met fans going to react to that?
Well, I mean, we keep saying that players don't get Scott Boras unless they want top dollar. You don't wait and wait and wait and have, you know, a potential Hall of Fame level manager fired by bringing in David Stearns to just have him spend and spend and spend. This is a guy who you really work miracles with a small market team. And that's the guy that Steve Cohen wanted.
But the whole idea, even like, but you're not a small market team. So that's what I'm asking you, Michael. If he, I don't know what the money, what he's going to be asking for. Let's say the Mets offer him 40 a year and he wants 50. Well, if another team gives him 50, okay, I guess the fans can, hey, listen, I'm not going to pay him $10 million more than you think he's worth. But if he goes and signs with the Cubs for $41 million a year and you weren't willing to go that little extra, that's going to tick the fans off. Then they'd be like, what do we have Steve Cohen for? You're sitting there pinching pennies like we're a small market team. You couldn't overvalue him just a little bit to be able to make the fans happy? $10 million I get, but it ends up being like a smidge more just to be able to stay in your ground. How do you think that's going to age in New York?
Well, I think good organizations don't bend like that except in extraordinary circumstances. And I think the Yankees gave Judge more than they wanted to because of how important he was to the team. I think the Mets have to sit there and go, how important is Alonso to this fan base? Do you think they love him, Don? Do you think the fan base of the Mets loves him?
I don't think they love him to the level of Aaron Judge, but Michael, he's their star. I mean, it's him and Lindor.
All right, so let's say you lose him and you bring in Soto. They'll forget.
Yeah, well, for sure, but let's see them do that. You know, you're not going to do it. It's another great Met that ends up not staying with the Mets. And again, I don't understand all the analytics, but I just find it difficult to believe a guy that can hit 50 home runs and drive in 120 RBIs can't help your team.
Peter, speaking of help, you've got something to tell us.
Oh, that was a seamless segue.
Yeah.
It's a message from BetterHelp. So, guys, if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp is such a great, great option for you. Maybe you want to work on your work ethic. You know, you're struggling to sort of get it together and motivate. Or maybe you're having relationship problems. Maybe you just want to be a better parent at home to your family. Whatever it may be, BetterHelp can be the place to help you. By the way, it is so hard to go out there and find a therapist these days. Well, it's not hard at BetterHelp. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Don LaGreca's birthday. He's 58 today. So happy birthday.
56.
I'm sorry.
Why'd
Get
you
my
do
numbers
that?
Mixed.
Why'd he do that? He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he does it intentionally.
No, I'm not good with numbers. You know, like, you remember when I said I'm 57, I'll be 53 on Saturday?
True, but in this case, it just doesn't feel legit.
Let's go to Dave in Florida. Dave.
Hey, Michael. Happy birthday, Don.
Thank you, sir.
Question for you. The Yankees ought to say status quo with Soto. At the end of the year, everybody's happy. Off from 15 years, 550. Go
that's
after.
Only, but that, that's only $37 million a year.
That's enough.
Listen, 10's enough, Dave. But you don't think he's going to want to be the highest paid player in baseball? The guy on his team makes 40.
Okay.
And he's 25 years old.
Hmm. Okay, what how about Chapman?
Yep.
How about Chapman, 5 years, 125, and then Snell, 6 years, 180.
So what do you want the payroll to be, Dave? I'm just curious.
Well, we're over the cap already, so.
But, okay, so what would you like the payroll to be, over $400 million?
Well, you're going to get rid of Stanton here in 2 years.
No, 4 years. He's got 4 years, including this one left.
Yeah, the contract that will never end.
Yeah.
Sugar.
All right, Dave, thank you for the phone call.
Good stuff, though.
I know what people are going to say. Well, the Yankees make so much money. But the last time I checked, Peter, you can check me on this. Like, Apple doesn't give away phones. They charge $1,000 for a phone, and they make a lot of money. And Amazon doesn't deliver packages for free. They actually make money despite the fact that they print money. So you can't, just because the Yankees make a lot of money, they're not going to put a payroll in the stratosphere. You can't have an all-star at every position. Let's sign Chapman. Let's sign Snell. Let's bring in Montgomery. Hey, why don't we bring in Bellinger? He could play on Judge's shoulders in center field. I mean, stop.
You know, there's another way to do it, people. Like, it's amazing. They don't want to buy championships, but then at the end of the day, just go out and get all the best players. Well, why not just if you draft well and you groom young players and if Volpe turns out to be a star, Michael, you have him on the cheap. You were able to get all that production out of Judge before you had to pay him. And that's a good way to do it, too.
I do love Dave, who seemed like a sweet guy. Oh, that's enough. Well, that's not how they do it. Because if it's just, you know, what's enough, you can make $5 million and I think get by.
You know, somebody, I want to try to be able to give them credit. I was looking at the tweets of comparing what's going on with Alonso and the Mets to Saquon. And there are some similarities.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, it's a popular player, but the organization doesn't value the player the way the fans do. Who was it, Anthony?
That'd be Ken Rozek.
Yeah, Ken Rozek. I mean, that's a great parallel. I think Saquon's probably more popular to Giant fans than Pete is to Mets fans, but it's probably negligible.
Nay, I'm going to say I think Saquon's definitively more popular, but I think even bigger than that. He's definitively more popular in the locker room.
Right. But
he may be the most loved player on that team.
But I think Alonso's been more productive.
Fair.
Because he's healthy.
He's always healthy.
He's been able to stay healthy. He's put up some incredible numbers. But there's similarities. You know, both were rookies of the year. You know, both are very popular among the fan base. And both are just not valued as much by their organizations. Now, the difference is that everybody seems unified in the NFL. But will everybody be unified on the Mets feeling on Alonso on the baseball side of things? Or will there be a team that will give him what he wants?
All it takes is one dumb owner, because that's all it has to take in a non-cap sport. Football, they're reined in. They have guardrails because of that cap. There's just so much, you know, that running backs get. But there could be one team that's desperate. I want a first baseman that hits me 50 home runs. And they decide to pay that money. That's what you have to deal with in baseball. You don't have to deal with it in the NBA and the NHL and the NFL. You just don't.
But it does feel like that these analytic-driven organizations, and it seems like there's way more of them than not, kind of have a self-imposed cap. I don't want to pay anybody more than I think they are valued, because then that's very dangerous territory. If you give to one, then you got to give to another. So there may not be a salary cap, Michael, but I think these teams have almost put a self-imposed cap, at least on certain types of players.
Yeah, they look at the top salaries of the top players at the position, and they say, we're not going to blow through that. Although, you know, you did mention Steve Cohen blew through it when he signed Scherzer, and when he signed Verlander, blew right through it. Went $7 million above what the highest paid guy was, and rearranged the salary structure. But he didn't get David Stearns to do that, because he's not spending money this offseason, Don. Because if he spent a lot of money again, they'd be a much better team than they are. Much better. There's a big fear of mine with the Knicks, and it's not about a bad call yesterday. It goes deeper than that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Hey, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step. Catch Joviaitis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking, with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth. Well, getting engaged will be one of the most exciting times of your life, and the winning team at London Jewelers is there to help you pop the question. The cutting-edge technology and trained professionals at London Jewelers can help you select a ring from their 2 by London collection or design the absolute perfect ring at any budget. So whether you're starting out or starting over, let the engagement experts at London Jewelers help you. Visit London Jewelers at any of their 7 locations, including Americana Manhasset and the Mall at Short Hills.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.